Teachers are striking today in Oakland just weeks after similar strikes in Los Angeles and following dozens of teacher protest movements across the country over the past year.
Oakland is the latest in the wave, but it's actually been a long time coming.
Sonia Paul is a reporter and producer based in Oakland, and she says teachers there have been trying to negotiate a new contract for close to 2 years and have been working without a contract since July.
They want better pay, smaller class sizes, more school support, including more school counselors and nurses.
And at the heart of all this, Sonia told me, are the high costs of living in the Bay Area.
Teachers earn on average about $46,000 to $83,000 a year, and it's among the lowest paying salaries for teachers in the Bay Area, because when you look at the cost of living in the Bay Area, it's just way off the guard. The average one-bedroom apartment in Oakland itself is about $2,500, which is like twice the national average, according to a report I just read this morning.
And of course, you did. You spoke to some teachers about what they're going through right now. Tell us a little bit about what this teacher told you.
Yeah, so I spoke with a teacher named Keith Wong. He's a math teacher and the math department head at Oakland High School. And he's actually a graduate of Oakland High School himself. So he always had it in his plan to go back and give back to the community where he's from. And, you know, he was just going on about how it's really a sort of last resort for most teachers, and that the teachers who are striking are actually the teachers who want to stay, you know, because when kids ask him about these teacher strikes and if the conditions are so bad, why don't teachers just leave? He's like, well, actually, a lot of teachers do leave the profession.
You know, I ask my students, like, how many times have you been in a middle school class or a high school class and, you know, a teacher left in the middle of the year to be replaced by like a long-term sub or something like that. And probably at least half of our students have experienced something like that, if not more.
And in Oakland, actually, I saw that about 19% of teachers leave every year. So it's really just like trying to explain to the students what's going on. A lot of the students want to know, too, like, are my grades going to be affected? Grades are due this Friday. They're also wondering, like, how long is the strike going to last? Because in L.A., which also had a recent protest, it lasted about 6 days. But in 1996, Oakland had a teacher strike that lasted about 6 weeks. You know, nobody wants a six-week strike, but they also don't want to just give in for conditions that are unfair. And so they're really just kind of playing everything by ear.
And there's also another element to this. It's not just the grades, but it's also aren't schools and public schools in particular in this area in Oakland a place where lots of students go for nourishment, go to get food?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's all these other ramifications. About 75% of students in Oakland Unified School District qualify for reduced or free school lunch. And so some students get like 2 to 3 meals a day at school. And then on top of that, too, you have to consider that if students don't go to school, where will they go? Many parents can't afford childcare. So there are a lot of different community organizations that have been organizing campaigns to raise money for food distributions and to set up what they call like solidarity schools or just spaces for students to go. But really, it has so many different trickle-down effects. And you're thinking, you know, are these teachers, you know, just like doing this in vain? No, they're not doing it in vain, because no teacher doesn't want, you know, the best for his or her or their student. They want what's good. And that's why they're trying to strike, so that the district will also pay attention and give them better conditions to work with, because they can't actually do their best job teaching under the current state.
Sonia Paul is an Oakland-based reporter and producer. Sonia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're going to take a step back from Oakland to look at California's public education system as a whole. Despite recent efforts to overhaul school funding, strikes over the past years suggest that there's a lot more work that needs to be done. Kyle Stokes is an education reporter for KPCC here in Pasadena, and he joins me now in the studio. Hey, Kyle.
Good to be here.
It's great to be on this side of the country.
Yeah. We made it warm for you. Not exactly.
Well, you know what? Well, it's snowing in New York, so we'll take it. So the last time we spoke to you, you were covering the LA teacher strike, which just reached a settlement last month. Mm-hmm. And we also just heard about what's happening in Oakland. Do you think what's happening in Oakland, those teachers are taking a cue from what they saw happen in LA?
Yeah, I definitely think that the two things are related. And the reason that I know that or would say that is that within the last couple of years, the teachers union president here in Los Angeles has said things about this upcoming year. The teachers union president in LA gave a speech that talked about building toward a moment of crisis. And he gave this speech something like 2 years ago at this point. He talked about meaning essentially the teachers unions across the state have to become ready to strike to make a political point about the state of school funding in California. And so he's been talking about strike readiness for a long time. It's a step removed from saying we're going to go on strike in 2019. But a lot of school districts up and down California, the big school districts like Oakland, like Los Angeles, all had contracts up this year. And so I do think unions were looking at this year as a potential pivotal moment for them to, you know, create what they might call a moment of crisis, or to put it in less scary terms, make a very big, strong statement about the state of education in California.
And of course, we're seeing these strikes happening across the country. We've seen them happening, you know, in different states. But tell us a little bit about what is really brewing here in California, because the issue of funding for public education seems to be a problem, as we said, all across the country, in red states and blue states and purple states. But from your perspective, what's really happening in California?
Well, there is this element of funding, talking about a sort of revolt against the state of funding in California. This is, you know, the state is like is a huge economy. It's an economic driver for the entire country. And yet California has ranked for the last, for decades in the bottom 10 of school funding for all of the 50 states, well below similar states like New York and Illinois that have similarly large school populations. Their per pupil funding has lagged far behind the national average. And the reason why that's the case is it goes all the way back to 1978 when voters here passed a property tax cap that removed local property taxes or limited the local governments and school districts' ability to use local property taxes as a source of funding. When that money went away, essentially in 1978, practically overnight, California went from top of the heap in school funding to the bottom of the barrel. And essentially, while there are problems with relying on local property taxes, there never has been a replacement found that is quite as stable or quite as large. So the money went away in 1978. It hasn't come back. And I think teachers are working in this environment of, you know, not enough money per student is what they would argue. And certainly low by relative standards funding for schools. They've been working in that environment. And that's part of the statement that they're making, is that this situation needs to change.
So California has a newly elected governor, Gavin Newsom. What's his stance on public education been?
Well, so it's interesting because we just had, over the past couple of years, outgoing Governor Jerry Brown, former Governor Jerry Brown, rolled out a new funding formula trying to make up for some of this gap that we're talking about, trying to not only build back from the recession, which was disastrous for school districts across California, but also try and fix a lot of technical things that were wrong with the school funding formula that exacerbated inequities and made it difficult for school districts to budget. We saw a lot of money, billions of dollars pumped into K-12 education. And we sort of thought that at the end of that experiment, at the end of Governor Brown's term, that the spigot was going to turn off and we weren't going to see more funding coming through for California schools. But what the governor did in his first budget proposal that he outlined last month, in fact, right as the LA teachers strike was going on, was that he was in fact going to continue the trend of increases in K-12 school funding. Are the two related? I don't know, but there was certainly some timing there that he released that proposal during the midst of the teacher strike. It certainly seemed or sounded like it was responsive to teacher demands to raise funding.
Jerry Brown was also a supporter of charter schools. How do they factor into the equation here in California? We have them in New York, and there are proponents. There are people who say they're the worst thing. There are people who say they're the best thing. What's the status here in California?
Right. So charter schools, just to back up, they're publicly funded schools, but they don't operate through local school districts. They operate as independent entities, a lot of times owned by a nonprofit. They're regulated by school districts, but the districts don't get their funding. And so a teachers union looks at them them and says, this is an existential threat to my job. And not only that, a lot of charter schools are not unionized. So that is what teachers unions here in Los Angeles, in Oakland, a lot of places around the country see charter schools as this existential threat. It's not on the bargaining table, you know, insofar as like it's something that you can bargain about pay and working conditions. But it is one of those anxieties that I think here in Los Angeles really drove people to strike. Los Angeles has more charter schools in its boundaries than any other city in the United States. There's more than 200 charter schools here compared to about 900 LAUSD campuses. So it's interesting. I think that there was a deal struck kind of on the side that the school board here was going to vote on to call for a charter school moratorium. They eventually went through with that part of the agreement. But, you know, it wasn't what the teachers were, you know, going back and forth with proposals with the district about. But the anxiety is in the air. It's existential for teachers. And I think it was definitely a motivator for why teachers were willing to walk the picket lines for 6 days here in LA.
Got about a minute left. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the funding over the course of the next year. You said you're watching the LA teachers strike, but how are they going to pay for it?
Yeah, we don't know how they're going to pay for this deal. And that's the big thing that I'm going to be watching over this next year. They've struck a deal that has 3 years to it. They can pay for the first 2 years, but everybody I've talked to says that third year is still a big question mark. They're going to have to find money that comes from somewhere. And so across the state, what is being looked at by teachers unions is being championed as a solution here to raise more state revenue is to roll back some of that Prop 13 that we mentioned, that property tax cap, roll it back so that those protections don't apply to commercial properties. Try and raise more money from commercial properties. But Prop 13 is a huge, it's like a third rail of politics here. The polls show that measure is very, you know, right on the edge of passing. Developers are already lining up a lot of money to spend against that measure if it goes forward on the ballot. So it's not a sure thing to pass. If it doesn't, then teachers unions like here in LA are going to have to go elsewhere to try and figure out how to pay for that, you know, the new deal that was struck. And I think for a lot of teachers unions and people who would like to see school funding increase, if they can't pass what's called split roll, they're going to have to look elsewhere, which means raising money locally or just raising taxes, raising, you know, money through the state's general fund, some other means of raising state funding. But that's something that teachers desperately want.
We've got to pay for it somehow. Kyle Stokes is the education reporter for KPCC. Kyle, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.